This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, October 6, 2021. The Memorial of St. Bruno, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus was praying in a certain place.
Words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Prayer is a very, very interesting subject. It is very deep. We don't know how to do it well, thus saith the Lord. Don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit must do it with groanings from inside. That we have the entire Trinity pulling for us. We have the Holy Spirit groaning from within us. We have our Lord Jesus Christ making intercession for us as he intercedes for us in heaven. And we have the Father listening to the both of them, because he will hear them way before he hears us. This is the glory of prayer. We can still do better when we think of prayer. It's the way we do it, what we say when we do it. Jesus was praying in a certain place. Jesus often went away to pray by himself. This is why when he came back, he went, hey, teach us to pray, because if he was doing it right in front of them, they would have heard him, they would have known what he was saying, but they didn't. So they asked him how to pray. Interesting, the Lord's Prayer, we have the version in Matthew, and we have the version here from St. Luke. One's almost half as long as the other one. So how are we supposed to pray, Jesus? Are we supposed to pray the long version or the short version of the prayer? And the one in Matthew's got 7 petitions. The one in Luke has 4. There's context, should be context always to our prayer. Is Jesus shirking on Luke? Is he tired in Luke and he just doesn't want to go into it that much? No, because basically all the bases are covered in the context of both of them. Again, one context, the Sermon on the Mount. He's got a bunch of people there. He's speaking as to, you know, the depths of prayer. And here he just has his apostle teach us how to pray. And he does this little shortened version. Again, they're both the same if you look at them in the grand scheme of things. We're asking about the same things. However, what our Lord teaches us, and this we get from Matthew in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing that we need to learn about prayer is that it is for the glorification of God and the coming of his kingdom. We have this very, very tremendously selfish tendency to pray a whole lot, very hard and very often when we need something, okay? That is just our human nature. God understands it. That's just who we are. But at the end of the day, it should really be the other side of the coin. We should emphasize in our prayers the glorification of God and the coming of his kingdom. Because I say so? No, because Jesus says so in Matthew chapter 6 during the Sermon on the Mount when he's talking about all the things that we need in life. You know, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Things that we need. It doesn't say we don't need them. We do need a lot of stuff in this world. We should ask Christ for a lot of stuff in this world. But at the end of the day, the first and foremost thing should be the advance of his kingdom. Because when his kingdom advances, he is glorified. You seek his righteousness. All these other things, thus saith the Lord, will be added to you. You'll get them as an ancillary blessing, because we're talking about something that's eternal. Our prayers should be focused on the eternal. We don't do this often, and we should. We should pray for things that are in the future. For instance, if you're a parent, you got a little 3-month-old baby. If you're praying right for that child, you should pray with the Lord, whatever his vocation may be for that child, whether it be the religious state, the clerical state, the married state. The Lord, if it's married state, please be raising up a wife right now for him. Might not even be born yet. Might not even be born, but yet we're praying. And the eternal God will hear, why are you praying for that? Not even 10 years old yet. This is how we should pray. This is seeking the kingdom of God, its advance, his glorification and righteousness. We're asking that he be glorified in whatever happens with that young one. Yeah? And we tack it on to things that might be potentials in their lives. This is prayer. This is contemplative prayer. A lot of people look at contemplative prayer, they think is something ecstatic or something. Not necessarily. Our Lord was teach us how to pray. Pray this way. That's obviously the way he was praying, whether it be 7 or 4 petitions in his prayer. It didn't make any difference. At the end of the day, it was for the glorification of God and the advance of his kingdom. This is contemplative prayer. It is, can be verbal. It can be liturgical, but you should be contemplating things. When we pray the rosary, you shouldn't be saying the rosary. You should be praying the rosary. You should be praying about the mysteries and how they would apply to certain things to advance the kingdom of God and glorify him in your life or in the lives of others. This is contemplative prayer. Today, this is one of my favorite, Saint Bruno. Not a whole lot of Saint Bruno. What's up with Saint Bruno? If the Lord had done what he did later on in my life, early on in my life, St. Bruno would be even more huge than he is now, because I probably would have been, if you're going to be a contemplative, prayerful person, you need to be a Carthusian. But a what? A Carthusian. It is a religious order. It's nothing like the Franciscans. It's nothing like the Dominicans. It's, praise God, it's nothing like the Jesuits. Talk about now. Nothing like any of them. Saint Bruno established the Carthusian order, and within a couple hundred years, it was about the same number as it is today. It's never grown by like the Franciscans. It's never grown like the Dominicans. Why? Because they are tight. They are exactly what a religious order should be. They are completely contemplative, and St. Bruno was their founder. There is one Carthusian monastery in the United States. It's in Vermont. There are a couple in France. There are a couple in continental Europe. One on this continent, one on this continent. There are not many of them at all. They're not a huge draw. Why? Because they take prayer very, very seriously. If you ever want to see, and this happened in 2005, that was a long time ago. Not really. Not when you're talking about an order that started in the 11th century. No one was allowed to set foot on a Carthusian monastery. And in 2005, they actually let a film crew go to a monastery in Germany. If you do the YouTube thing, if you, do whatever, Into Great Silence is the title of this film. Into Great Silence. It's over 2 hours long. It's phenomenal. If you want to see men who pray and pray well, because when you pray well, you are drawn to God. You become one with him spiritually. I was watching a little excerpt of it just the other day, and this particular monastery is in Germany. This monk is probably mid-80s, late 80s or something like that. He is totally blind, hearing aids and things like that. And Big old smile on his face. I thank God often that he struck me blind. I'm like, whoa. I thank God because he is perfectly good, and I know that he knew that was the best for my soul. That's getting close to God. That is getting close to God. The way they live their lives is so, again, it is so unique. And I pray God, and I hope you do too, for their defense, because stuff like this doesn't really fly anymore. Okay, there's a lot of picking at people like this in our day and age by powers that be, because they are contemplative. In the Carthusian order, there is no work. They don't engage in work. They don't engage in pastoral or missionary endeavors. They don't hold retreats. Well, they used not to. Now they're starting to. But they never held a retreat. They pray. They pray all the time, and they pray hard. Just little snippets of their life. These men live in cells. Strict rule of silence. Strict rule of silence. You sit in your cell by yourself. In most religious orders, you come out of your cell and you go and you do pray the liturgy hours. They don't do that. Three times a day, they leave their cell. They pray their liturgy hours by themselves in their own little cell. They leave for matins, which is morning prayer. They go to their community mass, and then for vespers. They stay in their cell, and there's two different kind of monks that lives there. They have choir monks, which are priests, and then they have lay brothers. The lay brothers bring the choir monks their meals, and they have a little rotating thing on the door so that the monks are not disturbed by the presence of the lay brothers. They just slide their little meal in there. They eat twice a day. That's during regular times, during lunch and dinner. During fasting times, Lent, Advent, one meal a day. On occasion, the choir monk can pass a note to the layperson in the little thing. I need a loaf of bread, and they'll give them a loaf of bread to eat with their meals for that week. Okay, this is these people. These are these men. This is how much they pray. So, again, complete silence. Unless they're required by their other duties, again, they only leave their cell three times a day. Once a week, the community members take a long walk, and they're allowed to talk to each other once a week on their long walk around wherever their monastery may be. On Sundays and solemn feast days, here's this one, they can eat together in silence. So it's not like 2 days a week. You just get to be around other people. You don't get to talk to them. Twice a year, they have a day-long community recreation where you can talk. 2 days a year. And one day a year, you can have immediate family members visit the monastery. You can tell that this would not be a huge draw, and it shouldn't be. These men pray well, and they do have convents of Carthusian nuns. All very interesting thing liturgically about Carthusian nuns. When they make their ultimate profession after their years of novitiate, they actually receive, a bishop actually puts a crown on their head, and they receive a stole and a maniple like a priest. No one else ever. Does a woman receive a stole and a maniple? If there is not a priest or a deacon present, they are allowed to don the stole and proclaim the gospel. Only Carthusians are allowed to do this. They receive that, the stole and the maniple and the crown, on the day of their profession. Then they must take it off. They get to put it on again if the Lord blesses them with 25 years of profession, and then they get to wear it when they die. So it's not like something that, oh, look, we get to walk around with a stole and a maniple. No, it's not. It is basically something that is obviously a reward for what their life is going to be after, because they follow the same rules as the men do, for all intent and purposes. So this is this is real prayer. This proves that it can be done in this world, that you can get close enough to God. I thank God often that he struck me blind. I mean, I hear things, I just don't get it because I'm not that close to God. But it proves that you can get that close to God, to where you start understanding and appreciating that what he does, no matter what it may be in this life, is for your betterment, because you know that he is a absolutely perfect God who does nothing but desire for your soul's well-being. And the closer you get to him, the more you know that. All this being said, this is why St. Bruno has always been very, very near and dear to my heart. Love reading about Carthusian spirituality. Again, Integrate Silence, I would highly recommend it, because it does. It proves to us, none of us are going to take it to that level. Well, maybe some of you, maybe someday. I'm not, but it can be done. And this is the message. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.